Hallelujah. Anybody believe Jesus is coming back?
Amen.
You know, sometimes you can talk to people and they don't really believe that. I was talking to somebody the other day and he was telling me about a preacher in the particular church he went to that got up and said he didn't think Jesus was coming back. Well, I've got a surprise for the people that think that, or some words here. One of these days, you're going to get a big surprise. You know? I know that, you know, since Jesus ascended into the heavens, about 2,000 years ago, roughly, we have been waiting for Him to come back. He said He was coming back. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place, I will come again. So we're waiting. Well, the Bible also tells us, and some people don't really like to think about it this way, but a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Well, if that's the case, it's only been 2 days. We're actually in the third day, I guess, now. But it's not been all that long, if you go by that calendar. You see, the thing is, we sometimes get so wrapped up in our time frame. You know, we live in what they call the fast food generation. And it kind of started with that industry. We accept now that everything to just go like clockwork, and we go and we place our order and it's there. If we have to wait a couple of minutes, we get aggravated. We get upset. You know, and we expect everything to be right now, right now, right now. You know, just like the saying that I've read a number of times, Lord, the prayer, Lord, please grant me patience and give it to me right now. Well, something seems to have gone wrong right there. But I'm expecting Jesus to come back. And you know, from the time I was a small child, I remember people talking about Jesus coming back. Preachers preaching messages on Jesus coming soon. They would preach these messages. They would give an altar call, and the altars would be full of people. And here we are a number of years later from when I first heard these messages, and we're still waiting. But again, it's in God's time frame, not in our time frame. You know, there was a chorus we used to sing back many years ago. In fact, I looked it up last night and found out that the song was written by Ari Winsett back in 1942. And don't worry, I'm not going to try to sing it, but I'm going to read the words to this song to you. And here's how it goes. It says, troublesome times are here, filling men's heart with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Oh, that song was written 70 years ago. But it talks about just what we are experiencing today. There are troublesome times. Men's heart are filled with fear. The freedoms that we hold dear are now at stake. You know, they're passing blasphemy laws in certain countries, and it wouldn't surprise me that they don't try to pass it here someday. But basically, you can't blaspheme certain religious figures. Except they seem to leave out a couple. If it's Jesus, if it's Yahweh God, that's okay. You can blaspheme them. But don't blaspheme anybody else. Don't say even anything that can be construed to be halfway bad about them. And if you read about it in the countries that have these laws, if somebody doesn't like you or they want what you have, they go tell somebody, I heard them blaspheming. They get arrested. Sometimes their life is taken from them just because somebody said they did something that maybe they didn't even do. So our freedoms that we hold dear are at stake. Humbling your heart to God saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. Well, I'll tell you that Christians need to wake up today.
Amen.
They really need to wake up. A lot of the Christians are asleep. There are a lot of churches that are asleep today, and we're going along on our own little rosy pathway, expecting everything to just be so-so, when the things that we hold dear to us are at stake. The chorus then goes, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound. And the next verse goes, troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care, I'll tell you, when we get to that heavenly shore, we won't have any cares anymore. While we are in this life, while we're living here on planet Earth, in this fleshly body, we're going to have cares. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you're the wealthiest man on earth. You still have cares. But we won't have those cares anymore when we get to that shore. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Homeward we then will fly, glory to share. How many of you have ever think about, wouldn't it be great to be alive when the rapture takes place? You know, it's a great likelihood that the vast majority of the people sitting in this congregation today will be here when that event takes place. They'll still be walking about on planet Earth. Oh, I don't know, there might be one or two of us that might by that time be one of the dead in Christ that rise, and there's some members of this church that have already gone that route. But I've got news for you, it doesn't matter which way, when that trumpet sounds, we're going to rise to meet Him in the air. Hallelujah. That's a day that's coming, and it's coming soon. It's not going to take another one of those 1,000-year days to happen. It's going to be soon. Jesus is coming soon. But that chorus again says, many will meet their doom. Because I've got news for you. When that event takes place, those who are left behind, don't expect there's going to be a mass number of people suddenly get saved. Yes, there will be some people saved during the tribulation period. The Bible tells us there will be. But I've got news for you. If you couldn't live it now, the odds are you can't live it then. Especially when your life is on the line, or your family's life is on the line, and they could take your small children and cut their heads off in front of you to tell you to try to recant and blaspheme God. That's being done in other countries right now. People who have preached the gospel, people who are living the gospel, people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're being asked to recant, and if they don't, they can lose their life. We've been blessed here in America. We haven't seen the brunt of some of these things yet. But it could happen. It could happen. I remember as a child in the early 50s hearing, that kind of dates me right there, doesn't it? Hearing my dad and my great uncle discussing the soon coming or the rapture of the church, or as we now, rapture of church as we now call it, but in those who have a personal relationship with God. You know, sometimes we can refer to the church, but the church, C-H-U-R-C-H, the building's not going up, number one, and there's a lot of people who are occupying the pews that may not be going up. And that's why I want to say, those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, those who have Him dwelling in their heart, they're the ones that going up. There will be, if the rapture takes place on a Sunday, there'll be some churches that'll still be full after the rapture. Because He's coming for those that have a personal relationship. I don't care what name's on the door. I don't care whether you paid your tithes. I don't care if you attended every Sunday. I don't care what you did. If you don't have that right relationship with God, when that takes place, you're going to be left behind. And they talked about that. And I can still remember my great uncle, the Reverend Bill Maupin, who was telling my dad, well, Israel is now a nation again, and the Jews are starting to return to Israel. It can't be too long. Well, that's been almost 60 years ago that they were talking about this. And there are a lot of events that have taken place during that time. And some of the events that stand out the most that have happened with Israel during that time that I remember in particular as was the Six-Day War. How many of you remember the Six-Day War that took place in the spring of 1967? Some of you weren't around then. You know, probably about half the people here aren't really old enough to remember the Six-Day War that took place in 1967. But I remember listening on the radio as they were talking about, and it seemed like there was no hope for the nation of Israel. In the natural, there was no hope. They were outnumbered, they were outgunned, they were out everything in the natural. But yet there are some eyewitness accounts that you can read. And I found one online, and if you want to see me after church, I can tell you the website. But it talks about the miracles of the Six-Day War, eyewitness accounts of some of those events. And I wanted to share just two of the events, because there's multiple events that took place that showed the hand of God. One of them, IDF Director of Operations Major General Ezer Wiseman was asked by Mr. Levon, the father of a fallen pilot, how he explains the fact that for three straight hours, Israel Air Force planes flew from one Egyptian airstrip to another, destroying the enemy planes. Yet the Egyptians did not radio ahead to inform their own forces of the oncoming Israeli attack. Ezer Wiseman, who later served as president of the State of Israel, was silent. He then lifted his head and exclaimed, "The finger of God. God had a hand in it." You know, it's just as easy for those Egyptian pilots and those in command of the Egyptian Air Force and Egyptian forces to have pressed a button on a radio and said, "They've destroyed our base, they're coming your way, get ready." And yet not one time did they do that. The finger of God. Haaretz, and I may not have that pronounced right, newspaper's bottom line, following blow-by-blow analysis, the military correspondent for the secular newspaper summed up the Six-Day War with the admission, "Even a non-religious person must admit this war was fought with help from heaven." You see, whatever they did in this war, God was on their side. He helped them to prosper. And there have been other events that have taken place in those 45 years since that event is to happen. And Israel's had many other battles. God has showed them favor in many of these battles that they've gone through. And yet they're facing obstacles and things yet today. In October the 5th, 2008, I preached a message titled, "Our Departure is at Hand." If you want to hear that message, it's available on Messages on Demand. You can search by date and find it. But that message is still very pertinent today. And I believe that after all these years, Jesus is coming soon, and He's coming sooner than a lot of people think. You know, many teach that certain events will precede the Great Tribulation period. Some teach the rapture will precede the Great Tribulation period, which is known as pre-trib rapture. Others teach that the rapture will take place during the middle of this tribulation period, that you'll have the first 3.5 years, and then the rapture will take place, and then they will go into the period that they will call the Great Tribulation. Others teach that the rapture will not occur till the end of the tribulation period. Well, one current ministry that's on television teaches that we're already living in the tribulation period, and that some of the events that have happened over the last 50 years were revealed in the book of Revelations, and we are living now in the era of the sixth trumpet. And that's a teaching that's on a particular ministry right now. All I know is, and I heard Paul Crouch say this on TV several months back, "Well, I don't know, but I got news for you. The thing to be is to be ready." And that's the most important thing, is to be ready for that rapture to take place. I don't care which one of these versions you subscribe to, you'd better be ready. Because if you're not ready, it's not going to matter, because you're not going to go. A particular ministry called End Times Ministry has this on their website, and I quote, "The timing of the rapture seems to be the most controversial of all prophecy teachings. However, whether it will occur before, during, or after the tribulation has no bearing on our salvation. God can come for any one of us at any time. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "Watch therefore, for you know not the hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." That's Matthew 24, verses 42 and 43. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, and we read from the complete Jewish Bible, "For the Lord himself will come down from the heaven with a rousing cry." It's not going to be any secret. It says a rousing cry, "with a call from one of the ruling angels, and with God's shofar, the trumpet. Those who died united with Messiah will be the first to rise. Those in the grave will come up first," it tells us. And it says, "Then we who are left still alive will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord." So encourage each other with these words. We're to encourage each other. Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. Are you ready? And if you're not ready, it's time to get ready, because Jesus is going to come. I can tell you this, the signs are here. I want to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And I want to read it from the Geneva Bible, the 1599 Restoration Edition. It says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there comes a departing first, and that the man of sin is disclosed, even the son of perdition." Now, the Geneva Bible, the earlier edition in 1560, and previous English language translations have verse 3 reading, "departing in place of falling away," becomes a departing of the faith. And what do we see today? What do we read in the newspaper? What do we hear on the news? A departing of the faith. It no longer matters to a lot of people what this book has to say. It no longer matters to some church organizations if this book says sin is sin. It matters what they want to be politically correct about. And if it helps them find favor with certain groups of people, they'll change what this word has to say and go by it. That, my friend, is a departing from the faith. And we see that going on all around the world. We're witnessing that departure from the faith. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 also tells us, "You will hear the noise of wars nearby and the news of wars far off. See to it that you don't become frightened. Such things must happen, but the end is yet to come." Well, what do we do when we turn on the news? By whatever means. Wars, wars, wars. There's a war here. There's a war there. We even, in essence, have wars going on in our own country right now. You all remember just a few weeks ago, a group of people went to a late night showing of a movie in Colorado, expecting to go enjoy a movie, have a good time, go home to their loved ones, get a good night's sleep. And I don't remember the number right offhand, but a number of people never left that theater alive, because a crazed gunman came in and opened fire and killed a number of people, wounded a number of others, some whose lives will be permanently changed because of what took place. Just the other day at the Empire State Building, there was a shooting. There's been a college shooting again recently. All of this happening in the last couple of weeks, these events taking place. I don't care what you think, but that's beginnings of wars within our own country. These things are taking place. It doesn't matter. You read somewhere there's a tribal war. Somewhere else there's a civil war, like is going on in Syria right now. Then in other places, there's international wars where various countries are fighting a particular war. And we see these things happening in the Middle East right now. Events are taking place that the Bible has talked about for years. And there was a time not too awfully long ago when we as people, as human beings, could not imagine any way that some of these Bible prophecies could take place. We just could not see it. 1900 and some years since the time of Christ, and there was no way that some of these events could take place. And then almost overnight, technology changed. And now we have the ability to stand right here in Columbia, Tennessee, preach a message, and it be heard essentially on any part of the globe today. We have that ability. I used to work at a particular company that worked with the satellite industry and saw some of the stuff and what they had planned and projects they had in line. Realizing with these things, with these satellites, that there was no place on planet Earth that you couldn't get a message to. The technology was there. And we see the gospel by various religious broadcasters being beamed around the world today because they're fulfilling the call of Jesus Christ to evangelize the world and take the gospel to all nations. These things are taking place today. These wars are going on. And yet with this, we have the ability to reach out to people around the world. Just this week, I read an article by Joseph Farah on the World News Daily. And it says this, analysts say because Israel now believes diplomacy has failed to halt Iran's nuclear program and the Jewish state's very survival is at stake. Remember what Iran has said over the last several years? Israel must be obliterated. It must be wiped off the face of the earth. And that was just not yesterday. That was not last month. That's been for several years that they have said this. That Israel, and they're on the path to do this. Israelis have not ruled out a Jericho 3 missile launch to detonate a single electromagnetic pulse warhead at high altitude over central Iran. How many here know what an electromagnetic pulse does? Essentially, it's like a bomb, except the big difference when you drop an atomic bomb, for example, you have radiation that can last for centuries. You have destruction of property and lives. But with electromagnetic pulse, you knock out electricity. You knock out communications. And essentially, this particular weapon has the ability to send the area of the world that it's ignited over back to the 19th century, the 1800s, in some cases further back, because no electricity, no radio, no television, no internet, no cell phone. None of this. I don't know how many have ever watched the program on TV called Survivor, but it'd be kind of be like that. You'd be living without all the luxuries of life. This would knock out all these electronics, but it would leave lives and property intact. In many ways, the secular world seems to be more aware of this important event in history than the church world. We sometimes don't seem to follow these things. And I remember years ago, a minister I knew told me, I don't watch the news. That's too depressing. I've got news. We need to be watching the news. We as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, need to know what's going on around us. One particular general back in World War II, and I can't remember his name, but he made a statement. You need to know your enemy. And we've got to know our enemy, or our enemy will pull the wool over our eyes, or he'll sure try to. We've got to know what Satan is doing in the world today so we can be prepared and be aware and make people aware of what's going on and these changing events that are going on in the days ahead. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, "But in connection with the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah and our gathering together to meet him, we ask you, brothers, not to be easily shaken in your thinking or anxious because of a spirit or a spoken message or a letter supposedly from us claiming that the day of the Lord has already come." And I got news for you. There were some people who taught back around the time of the apostles or just shortly thereafter that Jesus had already come back and that we were living in the millennial reign period, that 1,000 years of peace. Well, I got news for you. The last time I looked around, I don't see a whole lot of peace. And if I look back in history, I don't see in history even there was a lot of peace. There were things that were taking place that had nothing to do with the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. It had nothing to do with the peace that he promised. So that event did not take place. Let's go on here. "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come until after the apostasy has come, and the man who separates himself from Torah has been revealed. The one destined for doom, he will oppose himself to everything that people call a god or make an object of worship. He will put himself above all them so that he will sit in the temple of God and proclaim that he himself is God." And there have been people out there for as long as I can remember that have been claiming that they were God or that they were Jesus and that they'd come back. Most of them are all gone at this point. Many of them killed by their followers because they became disenchanted with what they were teaching. But yet we've got people out there today that are waiting in the wings to say, "I am the one you've been looking for. I am the one that you've been waiting for." If we're aware of what's going on in certain other religions today, we know that within Islam, they teach the return of the 12th Imam and that he will come back. And he will establish a kingdom on earth. That Jesus will come with him. And Jesus will declare, "I lied. I'm not the Son of God. And I bow to the 12th Imam." That's not going to happen. No. They're the ones deceived. But you know, there's people out there today and some who think they're Christians that will fall for that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 10 go on to say, "For already this separating from the Torah is at work secretly, but it will be secretly only until he who is restraining is out of the way. Then the one who embodies separation from Torah will be revealed, one whom the Lord Yeshua will slay with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the glory of his coming. When this man who avoids Torah comes, the adversary will give him the power to work all kinds of false miracles, signs, and wonders. He will enable him to deceive in all kinds of wicked ways those who are headed for destruction because they would not receive the love or the truth that could have saved them." He said, "This day is coming. You better be aware of it. And you better not be deceived. And you'd better be ready. Because before these events take place, those who have kept them back, and believe me, the church can keep certain things from happening." We talked about this just a few weeks ago when Brother Lou Abbott was here and he was talking about as his brother was dying and was standing at the gates of heaven and was told, "I'm sorry, but I can't let you in. There's too many praying for you." Well, Christians praying today have forestalled, in certain cases, some events. But the day will come when the church And again, I'm talking about those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ are taken out of the way. I read another article that there is a group of people who have been in existence, their organization has been in existence for hundreds and even thousands of years, and it said they are eagerly awaiting the day that the Christians are taken out of the way, because then they will rule. The group's called the Illuminati, by the way. These events are happening. Jesus is coming soon. Will it be tomorrow? I don't know. Could be. Will it be on Rosh Hashanah? Some people think that that's the day. Not particularly the year, but that would be the particular day that Jesus would come back, or that the rapture would take place. I don't know. All I know is the most important thing is, are you ready? Because if you're not ready, you're going to be left behind. And you can come and bang on the doors of this church, and there'll be no one here to help you. There'll be no one here to help you pray the sinner's prayer. There'll be no one here to witness to you. Because the Christians, those with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, will no longer be on planet Earth. We'll be on that heavenly shore where we have no more cares of life, where we're enjoying basking in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That day is at hand. No, we don't know the day nor the hour, but the Bible tells us about the seasons, and we are living in that season. And if you're listening to me today by various means, and you do not have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to tell you today, the Bible tells us, is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get your heart and life right with Jesus Christ. Invite Him to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. And when He's in your heart and you have established that relationship with Him, you are now an adopted member of the family of God, and He will welcome you into His presence. Then you will be ready. But until you have done that, I don't care how much you go to church, how much you give to the church, you are not ready. Only having that relationship with Jesus Christ will get you ready. And Father, I pray today for those who are listening. And Father, as many listen beyond the borders of this community, beyond the borders of this country, Father, and some listen because somebody translates it to them. And I just pray, Father, for those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've never established that relationship. I pray, Father, today that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts and help them to realize that they need to be ready, because Jesus is truly coming soon. And we need to be ready for that great event, Father. And Father, I thank You for what You're going to do. I thank You for lives that are going to be changed. For I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.